In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. About a year and a half ago, I offered a 12-week Bible study on 1 Corinthians, which was our second lesson for today, because that letter written about 2,000 years ago seemed relevant for us. It was written to a community that felt like it was coming apart at the seams because of the differences within the community. And you may or may not remember, a couple of years ago, we had a pretty divisive presidential election. And, of course, being part of the culture, the church is part of the culture, and so that was divisive for us as Grace Church. And I thought it was, for me, it was like balm to my soul to be reminded with Paul's writing that being church together has always involved negotiation and compromise and discernment and power struggles and squirrely behavior because we're all human. But being church together has also always been about us knowing that we need one another, that we need to be loved. And that love comes both from real human connection horizontally, the people sitting next to you in the pews, whether you know them or not. But that love also comes to us vertically from God into each of us and between us. So Paul, in his passionate, Paul only has one mode, passion, by the way, in his passionate, enthusiastic way, draws the Corinthians' attention away from their differences towards what holds them together, which is the cross of Christ, their shared suffering, their shared hope in the resurrection, their shared meal, remembering death and resurrection. And so in the first part of the letter to the Corinthians, Paul is focused on all the kinds of divisions that they have. And that list could easily apply to our society today. They had divisions based on sexuality, divisions based on money, divisions based on who baptized whom, who really understood the gospel, divisions based on diet. I know that seems a little bit weird because in Corinthians it's all about meat sacrificed to idols, and we cannot relate to that. But we can relate to this kind of conversation. Oh, I only feed my children organic, cage-free brown eggs. What about you? These are the ways we continue to divide ourselves based on what we eat. So in this final section of the letter, Paul turns to this other division that's been plaguing the community, and that is, who is more spiritual than others? Who really has the direct line to God? We human beings love to create hierarchies. It seems to be part of our nature, and there's nothing inherently wrong with hierarchies, but we need to be conscious of them and be intentional about how we use them. And in the Corinthian community, there was a group of people who happened to have the most money, who also happened to have the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. People had other gifts, but the speaking in tongues people, they were the ones who really, you know, were put on the pedestal and put themselves on a pedestal. And Paul was absolutely livid that these folks used that as a lever to say that we are better than you, the rest of you people who don't have that gift. That we're better than, say, Mary down there who can perform miracles, or Betty who's able to hold on to a vision of hope and faith even when the worst thing happens. Paul says, no, all of those spiritual gifts are essential and are important for the building up of the body. All of the spiritual gifts are in the service of Jesus and Jesus' lordship. It's towards the beginning of the passage. And I think a lot of us are out of touch with that lordship language because we don't use it very much except in religious contexts. But I think what Paul is getting at is that if that spiritual gift isn't in service of Jesus' path and Jesus' way, which is about humility and mercy and truth-telling and peacemaking, if your gift isn't used in that way, then it's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's coming from someplace else. There's one line in this passage that I want us to meditate on, and it is, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each. That means that everybody has spiritual gifts. Everyone has them. They're not something that we earn. They're not something we deserve. They're gifts of grace. The word for spiritual gifts in Greek is charismata. Charis means grace in Greek, an act of grace. When I've taught on spiritual gifts, or even when people ask me, what are your spiritual gifts? It's so easy to stumble on and have trouble even articulating what those are for some of us. Now, some of us are like, oh, I'm really good at all those gifts, let me tell you, you know. But many of us have trouble actually naming what our gifts are. It's like there's a disconnect with us being okay with being gifted. The second part of that sentence is that these gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit. The divine God is revealed in us through our gifts. We talk about every person bearing the image of God. That's the source of universal human dignity from the very beginning of our scriptures in Genesis. But then when we get to Paul, Paul talks about Christians in particular not only bearing the image of God, but manifesting it, that it shines out from us. And if you take that seriously, it can change the way that you see other people. Last night at 6:30, we discovered we were almost out of milk. So I went to Walmart. And, you know, at 6:30 on a Saturday night, people are not looking their best at Walmart. Everybody's just, you know, in and out. There's a lot of short tempers. It's Walmart. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit reminded me of that, this part of my sermon. And so I started looking at people and saying, wow, you know, chances are good that not only does every person bear the image of God, but they're manifesting the Holy Spirit. And it changed the way that I looked at people. You know, I wasn't able to hold on to that the whole time. I went back to my, but really, what an amazing spiritual invitation to look for that. And then the third part is that the purpose of these gifts is for the common good. We don't hear much about the common good in our political discourse. I think there's a fear that, you know, if I define common good, it's my version of good, and it may not be your version. It's relativism and postmodernism. It's an idea that's out of favor, and we're more comfortable with identity politics and special interest groups. But as Christians, we do believe that there is a common good. We do believe that the way of Jesus is good for all. The way of humility, the way of mercy, the way of peacemaking, the way of suffering for somebody else's benefit. That is good for all. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Or as Eugene Peterson puts it, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it, and everyone benefits from it. Last week, many of you know I was away with the Vestry, our elected leadership council, on our Vestry retreat. And we spent a lot of time talking about two of these key ideas in this Corinthians passage. We didn't know it, but we were. We were talking about the common good, and we were talking about spiritual gifts. And the missional priorities that we came up with are what I believe Grace Church is called to, how we articulate the common good, our slice of it, what we're meant to pursue specifically in the year to come here. And those things are to steward God's creation faithfully, to continue to develop a vibrant ministry to children, youth, and young adults, and to enhance our ministries to meet the needs of seniors. This is our slice of the common good for the year ahead. And then we spend a lot of time thinking about your spiritual gifts. You may remember on All Saints Sunday when we had all the pictures of saints in our lives hanging down from the altar. We also had all the time and talent offering cards that you all filled out, consecrated them on the altar. We had those same time and talent offerings on our altar at the Vestry retreat. We were mindful of your gifts, and we thought about the best ways to spread them out in the various ministries we have for the good of the whole, for the common good. Because God's Spirit has given us at Grace Church everything we need to pursue what we're meant to pursue this year. So I have a challenge for you in the days to come. Maybe do it today so you don't forget. I challenge you to say aloud to at least one person this week, "This is my gift, and this is how I'm using it to build up the common good." Name and claim your gift. Use it. Because your gifts are kind of like Christ's light. Hide them under a bushel? No. How does the song go? I'm going to let it shine. Amen.